Well, as we've been seeking the Lord over the last few weeks through fasting and prayer, we've been focusing on the process of hearing a rhema word from the Lord in our seeking. And we know that from Romans 10:17 it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," which is that word rhema, which is that specific word that God quickens to our heart through the Holy Spirit about some need, some issue, some area, some sense of direction that He wants to bring to our life. But then last week, as we focused on receiving and hearing that word, we also focused on the need to test what we're hearing with mature leaders in the body of Christ and against God's written word, and therefore to receive confirmation for what we're hearing. Well, this morning we're going to begin focusing on what we need to do once we've heard a true rhema word from the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome, obtain, or experience what the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts. How many know it's good to get a word from God? But I don't want to just hear a word from God. I want to see the reality of that word come to pass. Amen? And so there are some things that we also need to do in response to hearing from God in order to see something manifest in our lives or in our midst. And so to help us see what we need to do, we're going to begin by looking at some examples of what Jesus did with a few situations that people brought to Him. And we're going to begin this morning by looking at Matthew 8:1-17. It says, "When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed Him. And a leper came to Him and bowed down before Him and said, 'Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean.'" Now notice He didn't say, "Lord, if it's Your will." That maybe. He said, "If You're willing, Lord, You can make me clean." There was not a doubt there. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And so in this first example, Jesus did two things. He did something by way of action. He reached out and touched the man. And then He spoke a word of command. He said, "Be cleansed." It was pretty simple. It wasn't like this big, long, you know, Jesus didn't have to have these lengthy prayers. He just gave the word, and it came to pass. Amen? Well, then we go on to verses 5 through 13. It says, "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, imploring Him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" So Jesus wasn't just a talker. He was willing to take action. Amen. But this is an interesting passage, what we see unfold. "But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for You to come under my roof,'" because this man was a Gentile and he knew that Jesus was a Jew. And he knew that the Jews viewed the Gentiles as dogs. And yet Jesus was still willing. But he says, "But I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just," there's the word, "say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority." So this man understood the significance of speaking and giving commands. He just understood that the authority that was upon Jesus was not only with people, but it was with demons, it was with nature, it was with physical bodies. This authority abided in Jesus. By the way, just so you know, since Jesus died and rose from the dead and paid our debt of sin, which separated us from God, you need to know you possess that same authority now. As a new covenant believer in Jesus Christ, you possess the authority now that Jesus had in this passage. But there's an important issue here. You need to believe it, or you'll never act upon it, will you? Okay? So let's continue on. He says, "For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, now this is an interesting statement, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." This man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Oh, today, if the church of Jesus Christ would believe the word of God that Jesus has spoken. But he believed it. Jesus said, "I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He was saying simply this, that there will be people in Israel that don't even believe in me, and they will be cast out. But here's this Gentile that believes, that has come from a distance, even for a need in his life. But he believed that Jesus was the one who could meet that need, and believed that he would meet that need. And Jesus said to the centurion, now here's the word the centurion has been waiting for. "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." As you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. Isn't that amazing? Jesus speaks the word. Doesn't matter what the distance is. The word is performed, because the word does not have boundary or distance problems. Amen? Well, then we come to the next example. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. So Jesus walked over, touched the woman. The power of God was released into her, instantly healed. So it wasn't only with a word. Isn't this interesting? In the one illustration, it's simply a word. In another illustration, it's an action that he takes. Pay attention to that. We're going to come to that more in a minute. And then finally, verses 16 through 17. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast the spirits out with a word. And he healed, hear this, all. Everybody say all. All who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now what we see throughout this passage is Jesus did a couple of things that brought about his Father's plan for him. One, he spoke to various situations. And secondly, he took actions that were in line with the Father's plan. And we know that the Father's plan was in place because Matthew confirmed it with the written word. Amen? Well, what we're going to see this morning is how Jesus' actions actually model to us what we need to do with a rhema word the Holy Spirit has quickened to our heart. This leads us to a very important principle, one of which is this. Once we hear a true rhema word from God about a particular situation, condition, or need that exists in our lives, in order to obtain what the Holy Spirit has said, we must believe that word with our whole heart without doubt, and we must speak to that situation, condition, or need in one of two ways, or possibly both. One, we must declare with our mouth what the Holy Spirit has said is a reality that exists. I want you to hear that. Let me say that again. We must declare with our mouth what the Holy Spirit has said is a reality that exists, whether you can see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, or hear it. It is a reality in the kingdom of God. You need to understand that, because people think like, well, if my body is hurting but Jesus, the Spirit of God, it quickens to my heart the Word of God that says I'm healed, but I'm still going, ow, ow, ow. I need to still declare with my mouth, I am healed in Jesus' name. Because it is a reality. It does exist as a reality in the kingdom of God. And are you a citizen of this world or that kingdom? We are now aliens and strangers of this world. Amen? So as children of God and citizens of His kingdom, we declare what God says regardless of what our senses tell us. Then secondly, what we must declare is this. We must command our particular situation, condition, or need that is factual in the natural realm to do what the Holy Spirit has said exists. See, it exists, it's real, but you need to tell your body or your situation or your need to come under line with what the Word of God says is a reality. So do you understand this? One is a declaration of faith. The other is a declaration of authority. And when you combine faith with authority, you get the power of God. Amen? And so let me explain what these commands, how they work. See, when it comes to seeking God through fasting and prayer, one of the purposes we can seek God for, one of the purposes why we seek Him, is to receive His direction for some area of our life. That's really what we've been focusing on thus far in the last 2 weeks, right? But another purpose, listen, for seeking God is this: to receive revelation we need from the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome, obtain, or experience something related to a particular situation, need, or condition that exists in our lives. Let me say that again. Another purpose for seeking God is to receive revelation we need from the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome, obtain, or experience something related to a particular situation, need, or condition that exists in our lives. This could be in terms of an obstacle that we need to overcome, something that is keeping us from doing what God has called us to do, or go where he's called us to go. Anybody ever had any obstacles like that? It's called a gate of hell. But how many know the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? But nonetheless, the enemy still tries to raise them. But we have to, by his authority, say, no, no, you will not. But you need to get a hold of that. You need to believe that you have that authority. It could also be a need for something such as finances or a job. That's something we need to obtain, right? And then finally, it could be a condition in our body or in our soul that needs healing. See, the church runs around and doesn't obtain a lot of the promises that God has written in his word, don't they? And we don't understand why. And so much we think it's all on God's end. Well, let me tell you, on God's end, it's finished. Jesus said it on the cross. It is finished. Paid, it's the word tetelestai. It means paid in full. It's done. It's provided. It's available. But we don't access it. God's not up there withholding it because he's mad at us or that he's a sneaky, tricky God. That is not the heart of our Father. Our Father says that every promise in Christ is yes and amen, that every spiritual blessing in Christ has been given to us, and that he has already given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It has been provided. We need to understand this. All right, but seeking God about a particular situation, need, or condition means this, that we will pore over his written word and we will seek him in prayer about the particular situation, need, or condition until the Holy Spirit quickens the truth of that word about that particular situation, need, or condition to our heart. See, God's written word is quickened to our heart when the truth contained within his word no longer remains just information, but through the Holy Spirit, it becomes revelation that we believe in our heart. That only comes by meditating, poring over, studying the Word of God about our particular need, situation, or condition. It doesn't happen by accident. I know it says it in here. But too many Christians run around and they have a lot of information in their head, but they don't have any revelation in their heart. And when God's word becomes revelation or rhema in our heart, we see that what his word says is truly a reality that exists, that is greater than what we can see, taste, touch, smell, or hear. And then, when we believe that reality, in other words, listen, the truth, when we believe the truth within our heart, more than we acknowledge what we see or feel with our senses, that's the physical facts, right? When we believe the truth more than the facts, it's at that point that the revelation we have received from the Holy Spirit becomes faith without doubt in our heart. Is this making sense? But then once that revelation becomes faith without doubt in our heart, it's at that point that we must declare the truth we believe in our heart out loud with our mouth. You've got to speak it. And as we've already stated, that will need to happen in at least two ways. We will need to declare that reality the Holy Spirit has revealed, that it does indeed exist. And secondly, we will need to command our situation, need, or condition to do what the Holy Spirit has said. Again, one's a declaration of faith, the other is a declaration of authority. We see these truths in Romans 10, 9 through 10, and Mark 11, 22 through 24. Let's look at these. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is pertaining to salvation, of course, but these realities are here. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's no longer future tense. I think many, this hit me while I was studying this week. When you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you are saved. So when it says you will be, it means it is now a reality. Amen? For it is with your heart, the heart, a person believes, there's the faith component, resulting in righteousness, right standing with God, and with the mouth he confesses, Jesus is, I believe that he rose from the dead, Jesus is Lord, that results in salvation. Salvation is released from heaven into your heart. Does that make sense? So these principles hold true with salvation, but salvation is just the foundation. Because the Bible says that to each has been given a measure of faith. That measure of faith comes at your salvation moment. And so that becomes your foundation faith. But just like you have to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead to be saved, you also have to believe things in your heart associated with God's word related to our situations, needs, and conditions. And then you've got to confess those things with your mouth as well in order to get a result there. See, people think, well, I got Jesus in my heart. That's all there is to it. No, there's not. That's just the beginning, not the end. And so we look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, listen to this, whoever says to this mountain, is that talking about salvation? No. Whoever says to this mountain, I mean, no, that's some issue. That's some obstacle. Whoever speaks to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Here it is, folks. Both principles are right there. Yes, I know prayer comes afterward in this passage, but the reality is we begin with prayer and we ask God for what we need according, of course, to his word, right? We are not a name it and claim it church. But I am a name God's promises church and claim that he has promises in Christ are always yes and amen. So any promise that's in this word, we can ask God for. And if he hears us, which he does, we know that we have what we've asked for. And we believe it. Now, again, understand this. Jesus is making a point and a principle here. He walked in this realm of faith. You and I have things that are a little tainted upstairs, right? That cloud and block and deceive and confuse and accuse and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are times where we've got to go to war with what's in our mind and get that thing transformed, get it renewed by the Word of God, and then stand on the promises of God so that the revelation, the truth, gets quickened to our heart so that when we speak it, something happens. So people say, well, we should just be able to walk around like Jesus and this and that and this. If miracles really existed today, if the thing, gifts of the Spirit operated today, if the power of God was the same it was in Jesus' day, then why can't we just walk around and do like Jesus did? Well, there's a problem. You've been born again, so you have that of power and authority within you, but there's cloudy things that get messed up in our mind and heart that become obstacles to that. So we've got to remove the obstacles through the Word of God, believe what it says, regardless of what the world says, what our senses tell us, what somebody else says, and we've got to stand on the Word, stand on the Word, stand on the Word, believe it, believe it, believe it without doubt, and then I can guarantee you when that is present in your heart, and what you ask for, when you speak to whatever mountain is in your life, it will be moved. Anybody getting anything this morning? So I want to ask you, do you have any obstacles in your life that are keeping you from where God has called you to go, or keeping you from doing what God has called you to do? Do you have any needs in your life, such as finances, a job, a vehicle, a home, etc.? Do you have any conditions in your soul or body that needs healing? Then keep seeking God in His Word and through fasting and prayer until faith comes within your heart through that God's Rhema Word, and you are able to declare it with your mouth without doubt, and you receive what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. With that being said, there are also times when speaking to our situation, need, or condition is not all that is necessary. There are also occasions when something else is necessary for overcoming, obtaining, or experiencing what the Holy Spirit has quickened to our heart. And this leads us to our next principle. It's this. We must also act upon what the Holy Spirit has quickened to our heart. We must act upon it. We must speak to it, but we also must act upon the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we must obey any conditions God has established in His written word for receiving what He's promised in His word. We see this in James 2:14 through 26. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not talking about salvation in the context of eternal life. This is talking about faith like we're talking about, dealing with a matter or a set of circumstances that we need to act upon in this realm, okay? In the earthly realm. So, and James shows this as we go along. He says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" "Well, I have faith to believe they can be warm and well fed." Okay, are you acting upon that faith? That's what James is saying. "Go in peace and be warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself," here it is, "if it is not accompanied by action," other translations say works, "is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" I'm going to get into that in a minute. "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? He had to act according to the word of the Lord," amen? Not an easy thing. He had to really trust. More than I can ever even fathom, I'll be honest with you. "You see, his faith and his actions were working together." There's the key phrase. They were working together. "And his faith was made complete." See, something was finished by what he did. "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness,'" right? He believed. The minute he believed, again, when you believe in your heart, Jesus rose from the dead, you are made righteous, right? But then the next step, yeah, the next step is confession, but here we see Abraham's next step was action. And it's interesting that he even had words of confession that did not disagree with what God told him to do, because the servants said, "Where's the sacrifice?" Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And what was Abraham's word? "God will provide the sacrifice." Amen? He did not negate God's word out of his mouth, and he also acted in accordance with the command, with the word of the Lord. And so verse 24 says, "So you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Now that covers everything, right? Because we're talking spirit and physical. And so faith without deeds is dead, just like the body without the spirit is dead. Now, what a person does in and of itself, I want you to hear this, is not what produces results. Let me say that again. What a person does in and of itself is not what produces results. It's what a person does in response to the faith the Holy Spirit has brought within their heart that produces results. See, faith and actions must be working together. That's what Jesus is emphasizing in this passage. So listen, whether it's obeying commands God has written in His Word, or it's doing works God calls us to do in His written Word or through the Holy Spirit, or it's meeting a condition of a promise God has given us in His written Word, or it's acting upon a rhema word the Holy Spirit has spoken to our heart through a vision or a dream or a sermon or a book or an article and so on that has been tested and confirmed. All of these actions will only produce fruit when they are done in response to the seeds of God's Word that produce faith in our heart through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. All of these actions will only produce fruit when they are done in response to the seeds of God's Word producing faith in our heart through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand the process? Then our words will produce something when that is happening. All right? Therefore, our words and our actions must be an expression of faith that exists in our hearts through the revelation of the Holy Spirit from seeking God's Word, and often by seeking Him through fasting and prayer. Now, I know that there are those of you who are in my hearing. Actually, I want you to understand something here, too. This also relates to speaking. See, some of you have heard me say we need to speak to our bodies if they're sick. We need to command them to do something. But I'm going to tell you, you can speak till you're blue in the face. But if the revelation, rhema, isn't in your heart and you believe it without doubt, then it's simply like taking action without faith. How many know there's people who give to people and benevolence organizations, but they have no faith at all in Jesus Christ? So eternally, does that produce anything? Well, it helps people in the natural, but it doesn't have a spiritual component to it, right? All right, so in both our acting and our speaking, it must be the result of faith that's in our heart from the quickened Word of God. All right, now that I know we've discussed these principles, I know that there are those of you this morning who are in my hearing and some who are not in my hearing who are facing challenging situations right now and obstacles that are resisting you and seeking to keep you from going to places God wants you to go and from doing the works God wants you to do. I know that's happening in this body. I also know there are others who have needs in your life that are financial in nature or monetary. And still others are here who are experiencing conditions where you need healing in your body, in your soul, and in your heart. Sometimes all three. God wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that He wants to overcome any obstacle you face. He wants to meet any need that exists in your life. And He wants to heal any condition that exists in your body, your soul, and in your heart. His Word is very clear on this. It's very clear. But how many know we've got to believe it? We've got to believe it. So if you're facing challenges and obstacles that are resisting where God wants you to go, or resisting you doing what God wants you to do, I want to challenge you to go to the places in God's Word where it focuses on overcoming. I'm giving you some very practical help right now. I can't do it for you. Lord knows I've tried. Lord knows I do a certain amount of it with Overcomer Group and some of the things that I try to teach. But at the end of the day, I can't put it in you. I can serve it to you, but I can't put it in you. And honestly, I can't be with you 6 days a week and serve it to you then either. You've got to pull up to the banqueting table of the Lord God and His Word, and you've got to pour over this until it becomes quickened to your heart so that you, in your authority, declare it in faith and things start happening. I'm telling you, folks, if we'll do this in this church, things will start turning upside down around here. People will say, I want to know how that works. We're going to have a whole lot of overcoming, victorious people in this place. And more will be coming. But we got to believe. We've got to speak. We've got to act. But you've got to start by getting into God's Word about overcoming. Until you believe it with your whole heart. Secondly, if you have needs such as finances or monetary needs, go to God's Word and focus on the promises, listen, the promises and the instructions that God gives in His Word about financial or monetary matters. Now with this one, it's going to require both declaring God's promises and obeying the conditions that are in His Word. There are several conditions related to God's blessing in your life. Giving, tithing is one of them. Getting out of debt is another one. Saving is another one. If you have to take the time to start getting in contact with people like, or ministry stuff like Dave Ramsey's stuff, financial peace. But you've got to focus on that area of your life. You've got to get it in your heart so that you, yes, I have God's promises and I can declare God's promises because I'm meeting the conditions that He's set in His Word and telling you, listen, you meeting those conditions is an act of faith. Because how many people are like, well, my pocketbook doesn't measure up to the needs that I have, so how can I tithe to the church because of blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Then you better get in the Word about what that says and get some faith on the matter. Because it's only going to be through your obedience that you're going to get pulled out of that situation by the power of God. If you want to do it through the power of God, you can't do it natural ways, with natural thinking. You've got to believe that Word and apply that Word and obey that Word. All right? Anybody getting anything? And if you're dealing with a physical condition or sickness or infirmity in your body or possibly a wound in your soul where you have difficulty trusting God's love for you, or you struggle with walking confidently in who you are in Christ as a child of God, then you need to focus on passages relating to healing of the body or passages relating to God's love and your identity in Christ. Listen, folks, this really is not rocket science. It's not a hard concept to grasp. It's the doing. that's the issue. So if you want to be victorious, if you want your needs met, if you want your body and your soul healed, you're going to have to do some work to get the revelation of the Holy Spirit quickened to your heart so that you're speaking it in faith without doubt and you're acting upon it in faith without doubt so that the reality of it is experienced here. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because trust me, it's been established in heaven. Every promise is yes and amen. And finally, if you are seeking God for direction in your life, keep standing on the promises that are found in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 and Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3. If you need God's direction in your life, listen to these passages. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I know he spoke that to Jeremiah about Jerusalem, but this is also a principle in the Word of God that applies to us. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you know the nature of God, you can trust the character of God and the promises of God. They're all yes and amen, right? But listen to the next verse. Then you will call on me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3, this is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So this morning, I believe God is looking for people who will seek him until his word is quickened to their heart, who will believe that word, who will declare that word with their mouth, and who will act upon that word. And in reality, there are actually two kinds of responses we can give to the Lord when he reveals his plans to us. One we find in Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31, and the other we find in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. One is a negative response, the other is a positive response. We're going to take the bad news first, because I like the good news better. How about you? The bad news is this, Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. The people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and the needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Does that sound like the 21st century to you in America? I searched for a man, I want you to hear this, among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. Do you see the heart of God? But do you also see the responsibility of humankind? But here's what the Lord says. But I found no one. No one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't like the sound of that result. And notice it says, brought upon their heads, their own heads. Because God could find no one to respond to his call to build the wall and stand in the gap. But now here's a different kind of response. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. We sang a song related to this passage this morning. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. How many of you in your heart were just in that presence this morning? Amen. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. I can't wait till I can literally see this. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, listen to this, the doorposts and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. You know there's a temple in heaven, right? "Woe to me," I cried. I have a feeling probably we'd all be going, "Woe to me," I cried. In that realm when we're still in flesh. I mean, no, there's no flesh that glories in His presence, right? "I am ruined. The fear of God come upon him. The conviction of God come upon him. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Oh my land, I'm just telling you, that will make you shake in your boots. Unless you got a glorified body, I'm going to tell you that right now. And how many know nobody before Jesus had one? "Then one of the seraphim flew to me." Oh, the redemption and the atonement of God. Amen? This is a picture of the atonement of Christ. When you see, that's where people need to come before the Lord. They need to tremble at their sin before a holy God. And then know that although He's holy, His compassion fails not. His mercies are new every day, every morning. And it says, "Then when the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips.'" The very confession Isaiah made, right? "Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send?'" How many know He's calling to His redeemed people? "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" "And I said," meaning Isaiah, "'Here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord. I'll go.'" See, that's the response that our Father is looking for when He's calling out in a generation that's dying, that's separated from Him. He's looking for someone. Will we be the ones that say, "Here am I, send me"? Sorry about the baby. When you hear the word of the Lord for your life, I want to invite you to be one of those people. I want to invite you to believe His word. I want to invite you to declare that word with your mouth that has been quickened to your heart. I want to invite you to act upon His word in accordance with what He's revealed to you so that you will receive His promises and accomplish His plans for your life. And we can see a culture be transformed. Don't you ever dare believe it can't happen. The reason it ain't happening is because we aren't believing this word. We're too caught up in an eschatology that says, it's all gone to hell in a handbasket, and God already said that's the way it's going to be, and so we just might as well just fold our hands and wait for Jesus to come back. Lie, lie, lie. No one knows when that day or hour is coming. Yeah, I know we see all kinds of signs around us. But you and I are called to be salt and light and to occupy until He comes. So we have no excuse. Don't stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I saw in your word that the end times were here in our hour, and so I just waited for you. Don't you be like those five virgins whose lamps weren't filled with oil. The word of God says that who is the wise and faithful servant? It's the one who is feeding the servants when the master comes. We need to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Are you willing to be that one? That's the challenge. That's probably going to take some processing. I believe in your heart you feel that urging. But how many know it's going to take believing, speaking, acting, and obeying to see it happen? Amen? As we continue in this fast this week, I want to continue to invite you to seek God in these matters. I have to believe that there was no one that went untouched with the different areas that I mentioned this morning. Whether it be an obstacle, a need, a condition, or seeking direction for your life, every one of us falls under at least one of those categories, and probably more than one. I want to ask you, that's why we fast and pray at the beginning of the year. But I want to encourage you, don't let that be the only time that you do that. Seek the Lord. When you're in the midst of that stuff and you're in His Word, I'm just going to tell you, like Daniel, there's just some times, I've experienced this in my own life. I have waned without fasting at times. My flesh doesn't like fasting any more than your flesh doesn't like fasting. I can guarantee you that. And I've put it off, and I've put it off. Well, I'm telling you, there's just some things that the only way you're going to get a breakthrough is like Daniel got a breakthrough, is that he fasted and he prayed and he sought after the word of the Lord. Don't ask me why or how that works. All I know is it does. It's really related to the breaking down of the flesh so that the spirit can be released. That's really the basic principle. So, obviously we're going to be taking a turn away from what we've been focusing on next week. We're actually going to start looking at the vision of LifeGate Community Church as an overall. And so, I just want to share as my parting thought, is keep seeking the Lord this year. Can you see that this is not just a principle that we just do at the beginning of the year because pastor calls us to it? I hope that's not the only reason you do this. I really do. Because I called you to do it. I'm calling us to it corporately because I know I need a corporate word, and I need your agreement with it, just like I preached about the Sunday at the end of the year last year. Amen? And that's why I also ask you to come to prayer meeting. But keep seeking the Lord in His Word, in prayer, and yes, when necessary, fast. Amen? Let's pray.